Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, we got a dynamite show planned for you guys today. Interesting philosophical discussion mixed with some crazy music talk as well for the first half. First, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That's Geico, geico.com. Spend a couple minutes. Find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, actor Larry Hankin. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Brad Evans calls in with his NFL picks, and we'll hear from Mark Garagus. And now, the distinguished gentleman from North Hollywood who never yields his time, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on the Georgia. Get it on, man. Did you get it on, man? Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
100% bullshit.
Well, Mark Garagos going to get him on the blower because we got Kaepernick out doing a tryout, kind of like an open tryout, I guess, for the NFL or whatever, but it's still some Kaepernick news, so he's going to be doing that. And Garagos, I'm sure, has some inside skinny on that. He'll share that with us when we speak to him. It's weird. I was watching, at the beginning of the year, I was like, Garoppolo, that guy can't throw the ball straight. And then I blink my eyes, he's 8-0.
Guy's a stud.
Then I'm, yeah.
And how?
Anyway.
Cheetah,
so, all
he's
that.
He's a handsome fellow.
We'll get into all that stuff. I have a timely clip from T.J. Hooker.
Oh, right. That just aired?
T.J. Hooker deals with the subject of rape a lot.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a weird, there was a weird taboo with it, but there was also, like, T.J. was evolved on the subject. Mm-hmm. He was pretty woke back in 88, okay. You know, or whenever.
He was, he was anti.
He was anti-rape.
Was he on?
But there was a lot of shame involved with it.
Very
and they had these, this woman was, like, raped on the side of a hill in broad daylight three guys. Like, it was a full, by the river kind of Billy Jack kind of a raping. And, of course, she was ashamed.
Right.
You know, and TJ needs her to admit she was raped so he can make the case. If she won't admit it, then we can't do it. We can't bring charges. But there's just, now, at a certain point, she's already foregone the rape kit at the hospital, at the emergency room. And now TJ is with her in her living room, and he's basically saying, you have to come forward. You know, you shouldn't be ashamed of this. You're a victim. She then is worried about her husband.
No.
I do miss
what he might think.
Yeah. She's a loose woman.
I got it. I understand we've evolved, but there's a little part of me that yearns for that America where the wife was worried about me drinking two cups of coffee at someone else's house and not liking her coffee.
She needs to step up her game.
Or her being raped on a hillside.
Right. Two
and
cups
worried
of rape.
About how it would affect me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. What about me?
That's right.
How it might reflect on the family or the husband's view of you.
The husband's coming home and she didn't want. By the way, it was so funny. I grew up watching TV shows where the husband was coming home, like the pot roast isn't ready and Herb's coming home or the place is a mess.
That's this place when you get here.
Nobody I live with has any concerns about when I come home.
Sure.
There's no thoughts about when I'm coming home or if I'm coming home or if I come home.
Sure.
It's just I come home when I come home. But there's nobody's cleaning up or anticipating or waiting for the lasagna to be ready or the souffle to rise. There's no
wind. The ice is melting.
He can come home. He can call Grubhub and get Pan Express if he wants.
Yeah.
That's when he'll come home. the disarray of the house or the kitchen or whatever. But there was
they're
a lot of, my husband's going to be home soon.
What will he think
so,
when
this
he sees
is,
this?
This is just a scene. And I, the reason I liked it is because she chose to use a word to describe her attire.
Oh, her, no. Was her, it like revealing or suggesting?
Come
or,
hither.
Oh, no.
It may be quietly better than,
oh, no.
than both. Than,
I don't like this.
Than both those. All right. Let's just watch how she describes what she was wearing before the attack.
I'm not sure about anything. Any of them.
My husband may be home in a few minutes. I don't want him upset by this.
Upset?
You're the victim, not the criminal. You gotta get that through your head.
Ted told me, you know, that dress I was wearing was too inviting.
No! Not quietly. That's inviting. Way worse.
Let's pull the car over for one second.
Inviting. I don't think those guys will be charged if you're wearing something like look. If
Exhibit A, if, the dress.
Let's say you sell candy, and there's a sign that says "Open" on the door.
Yeah.
Could you convict someone from entering the store? Well, it's the same difference. There's no difference.
Did you go into the store, man, asking for an inviting dress? Yes, you did. Gates closed.
Worried that the husband is going to return.
Oh, God, man, that's her first worry, not
her
the raping.
Friend is there sitting there dourly.
Yeah, eyes averted, very ashamed.
Inviting.
What have we
it's
done?
Too inviting.
Inviting. Oh,
that's good.
No.
That's
oh,
real
yeah.
good.
That's a 50-year-old man writing that in 1982 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
That's real know. Good.
TJ wasn't scared to go to some of those taboo subjects,
sure.
such as rape, hillside rape.
Yeah,
this ain't the new version of, you know, he put his hand on my thigh at the club with Cuba. This is hillside gang rape. Too inviting.
Yeah.
Now, I think she was raped. I think she was like in a car and somebody pulled her over or something and raped her. So I don't know how they got the whole lay of the dress land.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they were at a club drinking. This was sort of side of the road daytime rape.
Yeah, it kind of torpedoes the inviting defense.
Yeah, but you know how the husbands are. They're always looking for a reason to blame.
Mm-hmm.
So
they start out on first base, you know.
Yeah, that's what I had that. So I was enjoying that on Saturday night.
You can't just take it away from us now. There's I got to see the whole scene. I got to see the whole show.
You got to see the whole show. Well, Max Pata.
I need a synopsis.
There's the part. Well, first off, a lot of cars peeling out.
Okay.
And a lot of synsonic drums. That's how everything worked. There was a great time when the cars made pretty good horsepower because they had V8s, but we still had skinny tire technology. Mm. So it was a lot of 70 series skinny tires with V8 engines, which made for a lot of fishtails.
Oh, that's good. That
like,
looks
wait,
good.
Too much horsepower, not enough traction.
Yeah.
Now tires are getting pretty wide and slick and fat. And
grippy.
Not, they're getting grippy. They have softer compounds and whatnot.
They're getting grippy. The road's so inviting.
He pulled her.
Speaking of grippy, who wins this case?
Well, early on, there was a lot. You forgot how easy, like, cops, like, a teenager would be running away after he robbed, like, a newspaper vending machine on the street.
Sure.
And the cop would pull his pistol out and yell, "Freeze!" And the guy'd keep running, and he'd just start unloading
fire.
Into his back. Like,
for a petty crime.
Like,
some say we have the same problem now.
Well, it was kind of, like, understood. Like, the guy said,
Gina, these are white kids.
Yeah. Come on, Gina. The guy says
it's nowhere near the same problem. We've come a long way.
The guy said stop, and the kid didn't stop.
Yeah.
So the bullets had to act as a reminder.
Fair play.
A reminder.
The gentle tap on the shoulder to stop.
Of a bullet.
So the beginning, Max Zapata, he's up like, they're up on Zoo Drive or Mulholland or something, and she gets pulled out of a car or comes out from the bushes.
Oh, God, we see the raping?
We don't see insertion.
Okay.
I don't even.
There's a smash cut.
Unclear if they even
How
inserted.
How clear is this situation?
She was disheveled and left a shrub after three guys exited before her.
And there were three of them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The, what's it? Gatlin Brothers. All right. So you can look for that, Max Pata.
Yep.
It's the same episode. It's probably act one. TJ, I also. You know, it's funny. I got a text from a friend of mine 10 minutes ago, and he went, "Hey, I'm coming by the shop. Want to grab some lunch or some coffee?" And I'm like, "No." Why would you think?
Oh, wow.
I just went, "No, I can't. I have to work." But I'm envious of the people that are just kind of coming by. And then also, what do you think my schedule is? Like, I'm just swinging by. Want to go to lunch? Like, yes, I do, but I have 1,000 things lined up.
Is this ask for money lunch, or is this just a, hey, let's get together?
No, this is like, I'm going to be in the neighborhood. I'm dropping something off. You're going to be around. Let's go out for an hour.
You got nothing going on.
And I'm like, that could never happen, but I'm envious of those who do.
That's nice.
TJ Hooker had that kind of thing, where it's like, he'd just stumble onto a case. He was literally, it'd be his squad car that was closest to the rape. And then that was just his case. For the next thing you know, he's in Chinatown. He's shaking guys down. There's love found with the best friend.
Oh, sure.
You know, and nobody at any point ever like taps on the shoulder and goes, TJ, yeah, you're beat cop. We need you. You patrol the Rampart area. What are you doing? I found a new case. I'm flying to Miami on Wednesday. I need a bindle of coke. I'm dealing with drug lords. Like, you don't get to just do whatever you want. Imagine if the LAPD worked that way. Where it's like every single beat cop who was like out on patrol. Yeah. Like, hey, you patrol Sherman Oaks, Encino, and Van Nuys. Like, well, yeah. And then there was this rape case. So now I'm getting on a plane. Yeah.
Today?
I'm going to Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Normally for detectives? No.
No.
Don't worry about this. This is mine. Yeah.
Why? Because I was closest to the place where she was raped. No. So I'll just take it over.
That's another 80s trope for cop things. Like, I want that collar.
That's right.
And I want the collar.
The supervisor who supervises the guy and his partner who are supposed to patrol in a car all day, all they do is just step back. It's like, you want to use the forensics, you want the computers, you're working nights, you're going in deep cover, you're going to Chinatown.
Unlimited
like,
budget.
Who's working your beat then during the day when you have, remember
That's
the
minutia.
Other crime?
They don't have time for that.
And then no one ever stops. He just finds it. Yeah, he wants that collar. That's his collar.
It's my collar.
Yeah, it's personal.
Because he was randomly closest to where the crime... So if an airplane crashes, the farmer who owns the field takes over the investigation?
Yeah, that's right. You've got to take some samples.
It's purely about proximity?
Yeah, it's all logistical.
We don't have federal guys who come in for this?
No need.
Man, that seems too... It's too much happenstance.
The farmer's like, say your jurisdiction. Now get...
Fire pumps the shotgun. Yeah, he wants that collar.
Yeah.
He's going deep cover. Also, what about the last time he did this in the last episode? I guess you button up every episode at the end. You bust every
these
episode.
These are not going.
There's no cold cases.
No.
Every episode ends with a foot chase and middle-aged Shatner chasing down the 19-year-old punk, you know, with in full uniform with like the tie clip and wearing the leather-soled shoes.
Good.
And the piece isn't moving anywhere, and he's chugging after the guy, and then he does a dive move, and he pulls the guy down and beats him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he calls him a punk, cheap punk.
Yeah,
and then he explains, like, where you're going, there's going to be raping, okay. But you're not, like, where you're going, you're not going to. They fill in the blank, whatever that thing is. All right, Max Patterson, shall I discuss my more interesting psychological discussion, or should we find TJ discovering the rapist?
It's loading. We didn't have the scene ready yet. So
I get it. It's an audible. All right, here's what I want to do. I like to compare and contrast Brian Grazer with my dad.
Oh. Are there things to contrast?
Where are the comparisons
to
start?
That's a good point. Both. All right. I've really been, as I get older, I don't know if you guys, I don't know, maybe you have kids or you have relationships or you get a little bit older, but you start to kind of think, who are these people that sort of get what they want out of life? And then who are these people who don't get what they want out of life? And then, do the people that say they want what they want out of life but don't get it because they screw it up? Now, not I want to be in a rock and roll band and sell a million records. That everyone wants that. Or I want to play shortstop for the Yankees. Or I want to be a starlet or whatever. I want to invent something and sell 10 million units. Not that. Just the kind of stuff you want to do, you can do, you say you want to do, but then you undo that thing. And I was thinking about like guys like Brian Grazer. First off, what is Grazer's skill set, if you even really think about it, other than relationships? You know, knowing, getting
right,
in.
Right,
I'm not
right,
calling
right.
him a skillless or mooch, but I'm
no,
saying
like, how would you
I don't
networker.
Think he's a great director or screenwriter, whatever. He gets himself in a room with people, and they do business. You know,
he has great instincts, obviously, and has great people skills. And
right.
That sounds so flippant, but like having great people skills, I wish you could teach that.
And it's one thing to be relentless without being pushy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right?
That's a skill.
It's a skill. So, and I was thinking about all the people I know who sort of say they want something, but they can't figure out a way to do it, especially when it's so easy to do. And famously, my dad wanted me to lease him a luxury car, but he wouldn't drive it to my house. And I
wouldn't drive it.
And I would say to him, stop driving your wife's CRV. You're putting mileage on a car you own. My car's a lease. It's overdue. And he just kind of kept doing it. And when I eventually told him, no, I'm not leasing a luxury car, he was like, okay. And that was that. Now, what did he want? Like he wanted a luxury car.
He seemed to at one point.
It was kind of laid out. Mm-hmm. The path was there.
Very clear.
But didn't really stay on that path. And it was an easy path to stay on.
Yeah, drive the car.
And he did a podcast years ago, and he did it for quite some time, maybe a couple of years, 2-3 years. And it didn't make money. It in fact cost me money just by virtue of the fact that somebody had to engineer it and run the equipment and do the work, whatever, sure, whatever's involved with doing a podcast that makes zero money. So I said to him at some point, after about 3 years, I just went, I'm trying to do this business and we're trying to make money. And so we're trying to make the podcast profitable, but yours isn't making any money and it's costing me money. So how is it? How do we address that? How do we remedy that? And he says, this is really important, this podcast. I have a connection. We're few, but we're proud. We have a group of people listening. I talk psychology with them, and it's very important to them. And I said, okay, I'll sign off on that notion. And he expresses to me how interested he is in continuing doing the podcast. So I say, well, okay, let's figure this out then. You have a small group, but you're providing this service. Shrinks $1.50 an hour for 50 minutes or more or whatever it is, and yet you're giving them all this experience and advice and knowledge for free. So why don't we create a little PayPal button or something? And if those people really are interested and really do feel like a service is being provided, then they can donate $5 or
they can offset the cost.
$10 a month or whatever it is. It's not going to cost too much. I don't know what this is costing me. It's not making me money and it's costing me money, but maybe it's $1,000 a month. That seems very doable. And just go ahead and. Oh, Garagus is still in court. All right. Garagus is still in court.
I'm reading that note.
Yeah. He wants to know if we can call him tomorrow, but he says he'll have breaking news tomorrow. Wow. And doesn't really have anything today. And he's stuck in court. Okay, fine.
We shouldn't pull rank, but Brian, he did excuse himself from court to be with us when we were doing the show.
That's right.
This is embarrassing for Adam.
Wow. I thought we were friends. But don't worry. We have TJ Hooker clips ready. So, okay. Hold on, Max Bat. So, I say, set up a little PayPal account or whatever. Tell everyone what's going on. Hey, folks that listen for free, and this advice means something to you, and it has a value, and then donate $5.99 a month, and then we'll keep the ship a sailing. And he says, okay. And then I check with him the next week, and I said, did you ask for the donations? And he said, it's an interesting thing that a lot of people do. He goes, yeah, I didn't really get that. How'd that work? Like, which he did with his car lease and the mileage too. It's like do you not get this? Well, here's the thing about
you
everyone
saying okay indicates that you got it.
Everyone who says I don't know what you're talking about, feel free to raise your hand while I'm in the room instead of go off and not do what I said to do, and then come back and go, I don't exactly know what you meant.
That's like the perfect time.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it's just kind of sort of passive aggressive fuck off. But anyway, so I said, all right, well, let me be clear. The podcast has been going on for a number of years. It costs me money. You should be asking how much about now, but okay. I would like you to ask for your valuable listeners to donate to offset the cost. We just got to get to even, and then we'll have done that. And because I'm trying to run a business, and you are costing me money.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. And then I went back the following week, and I think I said to Gary this time, who was engineering the show, I said, did he ask for money or donations? And he said, no, he did not. And I said, why didn't he do it? And Gary said, he said to Gary, I don't beg.
Okay.
So he's got his pride. Mm. He's got his pride. Now, he didn't have so much pride that he doesn't mind taking money from his son to run his pro bono podcast. But
for grabbing that free car.
Okay. Okay. So he doesn't beg.
Okay.
All right. So then I circle back maybe a week or two later and I go, hey, Dad, evidently you're not going to do this thing that could keep this very important thing to you on the air, this simple and sensible and logical thing of asking for something from the audience.
And if it was that important, the audience would be very happy to support it.
Right. And so because of that, I'm just going to cancel the podcast. And he said, okay, you know. And he got in the car that I didn't lease him, and he left. Mm. Now, my question, now very un-Brian Grazer-like.
End?
But all the above. But what I'm saying is does he want this or doesn't he want this? I've experienced this a lot in life with people I know and friends and folks I've known in the past. What exactly do they want? Like, I once said to my mom, I'll redo your driveway. I'll do it out of cement. Go to the phone book. Give me three bids. I'll pick the middle one, and it'll take 3 days. They'll jack it out. Her driveway was an asphalt, crumbling, sort of gator-backed, sun-blasted mess. And a couple weeks, couple months went by, and I sort of said to her, did you find, you give me a bid on that driveway? And she's like, I haven't been able to check my phone book yet, or whatever. The person says the person has no job. And then like 6 months later, I went, hey, what's up? You ever open the phone book? And she kind of did, I've been really busy lately. And I'm like, so busy that you can't just get three bids? You don't leave the house.
It's a lot of muffins, man.
And then she did the, like, I feel like you're pressuring me or whatever. And I was like, I don't care. And then it was like, it turned into an argument. And then I was like, all right, well, I just saved $12,000. I went home. But so I never did get the driveway. But what do you want? And why can't you take your free driveway? Or why can't you keep your podcast going? And then there's a million versions of this where I've said to people, here's what's going to happen. Doesn't have to happen. And all you have to do is this. And good news is you want this outcome the way I want this outcome. They don't do it.
Yeah.
They can't. Turns into an argument. I know there's an oppositional disorder involved at some point, but why are so many Americans this? I mean, this is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot less Brian Grazers. There's a lot more of my mom and my dad than there is Brian Grazers. Why? Why?
Yeah.
What is this?
It's not, I don't think it's a binary do you want it or don't you want it. It's how badly do you want it. You know what I mean? You ostensibly want a driveway or a car or a podcast or whatever. These are the steps required to take it, and it's step 2 out of 5 or one out of 8, whatever it is. It's like, that's too much work. Or I don't want it that badly. We see it in kids. You know what I mean? It's like, how badly do you want this thing? Bad enough to clean up your room? Bad enough to finish your dinner? You're like, the incentive or how badly do you want it?
Well, and also, he specifically wants it the way he's getting it. He doesn't want it with a caveat.
I think ultimately he or they don't want you to dictate terms.
Could be.
These are your terms.
Well, yeah. And,
and even though your terms are basically open the phone book and get three bids and
yourself.
We'll pick the middle one, it's still my terms. Yeah. I'm telling you what to do, and people don't tell them what to do, even though it never works. Yes.
How many, but then again, back to Brian Grazer, how many deals has he made that have not been on his terms or been on some, you know what I mean, some mutually agreeable terms? Like, that's the indicator of how badly you want it. Are you willing to, you know, negotiate or meet halfway?
Or make a detour.
I'm curious.
What's up on our terms?
I there are certain people, believe me, I don't know, something in the drinking water in North Hollywood or something, you can't tell them what to do. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't tell Ray what to do. You couldn't tell Donnie what to do. There's many guys I grew up with in high school. Like, you couldn't tell them what to do. Even if it benefited them, you told them what to do, they wouldn't do it.
And how many people, just in our experience in radio, entertainment, or whatever, it's like, you know that person where it has to be their idea. Convince them it's their idea. You know what I mean? Like,
well, think about the percentage of
that's
people.
Absurd.
Think about, you talk about radio. So if you said to somebody, half the people you go, hey, it's a clean show, don't cuss. Then they'll go in, then they'll cuss, and then they'll go, oh, yeah, they told me not to. Mm-hmm. Then they go explain right. where they yeah. were told not
such
to.
Such an outlaw.
How many people have that mm-hmm. weird gene where yeah. you tell them, don't do this or don't bring that up, and they go,
it
right.
It means do yeah. that thing.
It means do it. Why? It's kind of like, you may not tell me to do anything. I shall not do anything you tell me to do.
Yeah.
What? Why are there so many of those human beings when the thing ultimately benefits them?
Yeah, it's a self-defeating
quality.
That's
what I'm saying.
It reminds me of one of the best 20-second, even less bits from The Office when they're on the ground floor. They're telling Michael, whatever you do when we go upstairs, do not tell them we're broke. Don't tell them. Okay. And by the time the door's open, two floors later, he goes, oh, God, I think I'm going to tell them. They can't help themselves.
But we all know those people of where course. It's like, it's better not even to tell them not to say something
right.
because there's a chance they won't say it. But if you tell them not to say it, they'll yep. for sure say it.
Yep.
All right. Robert, 44, you have a Tool tune?
Ooh. Yeah. Over the past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of talk of Olivia Newton-John, and I wanted to get your opinion on the original Queen of Hearts, Juice Newton.
Mmm. Yeah.
It's a little tooly.
Would you consider this a novelty song?
No.
Really?
This is a perfectly good pop song.
Midnight. Got a little of that Eddie Rabbit going in there.
What year is this?
79?
80.
80
it was part of my 80s box set that I got in CD 80? Way back in the day. So that's about 80, 81.
Now that's
I'm saying
what Brian
calls it was engineered in 79 is what I'm saying. It hit the radio in 80. So technically you're right.
Got to get to the hook. Playing with the queen of hearts.
No one in it really you can't go wrong with strummy, strummy, clappy, clappy, clappy,
yeah,
right?
It's fine.
Okay, Tommy Mottola.
Although, this might be more specific to guys, but it's a Tool tune if you're a dude, for sure.
Not
window
at all.
Goes up.
Uh-uh. Not at all.
Wow.
It's just a great song.
Wow.
It is a great song, but it's a Tool tune.
My window's
I don't have it as that tooly.
If you're rolling the windows up, you've got more problems than this song.
Let me write that down.
I think we're saying you don't look cool if you're playing this song with the windows down. Dawson's saying he doesn't care that he doesn't look cool.
I want to disagree with both of you all the time, but it's got a dusting of Tool, but it's
a marginal
good.
Tool, yeah.
It needs a little more dude, you know, singing about riding with a six string instead of a six gun or something. It's a little tooly, but I wouldn't be proud to say this is one of my favorite songs, I guess.
Well, let's agree on this. We can agree that Juice Newton's greatest Tool tune. This is peak Tool tune. Windows up. Volume up.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is a remake.
Yeah, it's a 60s song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's gonna hit that chorus, and we're all gonna enjoy.
Burst into tears,
man.
Baby.
When's my husband coming home? I don't want him to see me this way.
What's it called? Inviting.
Inviting.
This is a couple skate.
So hold on, Herb. Is anything with a zipper considered inviting, or
it's
is
right
it all?
There. It wouldn't be pulled. Oh, here we go.
Oh, here it comes.
Windows up!
Windows up!
Just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me.
Juice.
Baby, just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel.
Then slowly. All right. We got rape scenes to get to from T.J. Hooker. Wasn't a Petula Clark we were talking about that last week. Who was that? Single chick, yeah.
Don't know.
Figure it out. I think it was kind of one-hit wonder.
Angel of the Morning, written by Chip Taylor and Evie Sands, did it. Mary Lee Rush, Nina Simone.
Mary Lee Rush.
Nina Simone?
I think
I've never heard that one.
I think Mary Lee Rush Well, the earliest, whatever it was done in 1967 or whatever.
Was this version around like the whole Bonnie Tyler time? Because they kind of all have that vibe.
It's a little earlier. That's about a 6 year separation. Okay.
Yeah, Mary Lee Rush made it a hit in 68.
But 68. Yes, 80s.
Engineer in 67. All right. Do we have the chick being raped?
Yeah. So so what happened was TJ Hooker pulled over a woman, gave her a red light ticket.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And then, she went to go meet her friend. Her friend's not in the car, so she goes investigating.
Right. She goes investigating. Her friend comes out of the shrub.
Okay.
Middle of the day. There's always the evil chick who's okay with rape who's with him. Moonshine.
She looks like both of the Nelson brothers.
I know.
Maybe there's something else we can cash in on.
You know, a car like that Mercedes, you thought there'd be more, huh?
Sinsonic, I tell you.
It's Phil Collins.
One friend sees.
Oh,
no. That guy's done raping.
Gotta put his jacket back on.
Did he walk out right behind?
Get her.
Yeah.
Run, Michelle Williams, run.
Yeah, Michelle Williams is in this from Mamas and the Papas.
The soft top.
Yeah.
Ooh, she had a car phone.
Car phone.
Please, emergency.
I like when they do a lot of clipping of wires and, you know, phone wires and stuff back in there. Like, here's the antenna, baby. Yeah.
Doom, doom.
All right, anyway. She got raped in a bush and TJ showed up. And now it's his collar.
Yeah. It's his collar.
He's doing that. I'd like to have a job where I just went into like Home Depot and I saw a pallet fall over. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take care of this pallet. And then Matt's like, you got to do a bunch of podcasts. I'm gonna put them on hold.
This is personal.
I walked into this thing. Now I own
stole
it.
You got to
see it through.
Yeah, it's mine. All right. Let's see.
Efrasio?
Yeah. What name is that?
Efrasio?
Efrasio, maybe.
How do you say a name from Moreno Valley?
Efrasio.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, friend of the Kevin Bean Show. Remember, I heard you on last Thursday.
Oh, yeah. You called in, right? Yeah.
No, I tried to call in, but they even put me on the air. But yeah, I called in like a while. I was listening to the podcast a while back that you were going to be on the Kevin Bean Show with Bean's last day.
Yeah, I saw. I saw your name. I probably saw it on the screen or something. The phone. God, people were on hold for like 3 hours, sure. Wanting to talk, and it's just there's never enough time in the day.
I think it was a few days back they did do a shout out or something, but then we didn't get a chance to actually get to a call because I was working at an auto auction that morning, so I wasn't able to use my phone because
rich man, poor man, at an auto auction.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's my side job right now. I do security at an auto auction in Corona, and I was working at Holy Menheim. I work graveyard shifts, and I watch like 600 cars.
You work security at did you say Pomona?
Corona.
No, Corona.
Corona. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I went to Corona. I had to work in Corona for like 3 days in July 5 years ago. I wanted to kill myself.
Because of contractors?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that place is a shithole. Jesus Christ.
It's a bigger asshole, too, now. It's got more homes than it and stuff. But, yeah, it's like it's a circle city, and sometimes you can't get through town.
Yeah. All right. So you work in security?
Yeah, I'm security for an auto auction. Sometimes I transport cars from my car dealership back to the place where you have the cars prepped for the online sale for the auto auction.
Uh-huh. I know you, your dealership. Are you doing Aston Martin exclusively or Aston Martin and Bugatti?
When I was working at the Mannheim out in Riverside, I guess I didn't do accounts. I was just working crew, and I was like pushing cars from one lot.
You get the feeling there's some guys who they go, I want you to work security, but really what they're saying is I want you out of the fucking building. So I was like, put this windbreaker on.
Go stand outside.
Go
stand outside and work security. But we're really saying we're security telling you, like, as long as you're out front,
as long as we can
see your back, we know our back is safe. I feel like a lot of security jobs are given by guys that they're scared they're going to rob them.
Yeah.
That's sort of like mob security or something.
That's right.
All right. So, sorry. Washing cars. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to carry a spotlight, and I drive a car around the lot, and I just, like, look for anything that's out of the ordinary, but it's pretty much safe.
When you were in high school, what were you thinking about doing?
When I was in high school, I wanted to be an architect, and then college, Earth City Planner. I don't know if you remember that call from way back.
Yeah.
And then I, for some reason, I got into radio because I was interested in it because I was playing with my Saturday Night Fever disco record and pretending to be DJ, and I thought I'd check it out. And here we are, so many years later, you know, still living the sad salvation, as they call it.
All right, so listen, you know music, and you can talk up a song. What if we started Juice Newton's Playing with the Queen of Hearts, and then you mm-hmm. talk it up until we get to the lyrics? You want to try that?
Can you hit the post, Fabrizio?
Hit the post.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I got it. I got you.
All right.
Hey, you're listening to KFGY, Country in the Fog, and here's the Queen. The queen of country back in the day, Queen of Hearts, Juice Newton, back in 78.
Not bad. Strong beat.
Dawson got some competition.
Yeah, I got to work it out for you.
That's good stuff.
You want to do Angel of the Morning? Let's try that again.
What's the name of the album? I can't remember. I remember.
Well, Juice Newton, write this down.
Okay.
And what is the album? What,
Squeeze the Juice.
Squeeze the Juice. All right, let's try that.
This is a popular ballad from 1980. This one's called Angel of the Morning. We're not talking about the Juice, O.J. Juice. We're talking about Juice Newton, the lovely and elegant Juice Newton, Angel of the Morning.
He could have included one sticker stop.
A couple more quick koozie. You know, prize patrol. About,
a couple of crutches you can lean on, Euphrasio. Like,
how about Jim Carnes?
Hold on, sorry, go ahead.
You can say you get traffic coming up, traffic and weather together.
Right.
You know, all the hits all the time.
But for no prep, that was pretty good.
It was good.
We don't know what he knew going into this call, Brian, but we assume no prep.
Sometimes we can presume.
People get a Juice Newton feeling.
True.
And if they're smart, they act on it.
That's right.
Dawson, you want to try some Juice? You want to hit the post with Juice?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
What's track?
Oh, I don't care.
You got to do both of them.
Make it fair.
Back inside the station that helps you ride. Make sure you come home safe to the one you love. Juice Newton will tell you all about it. Right here. Turn it up, tune it out. This is The Hits.
Oh,
that's pretty smooth. That got me in the mood for some Juice.
That's nice. Yeah. All right.
Euphrasio?
What did we figure out?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're good, but you're not Dawson great.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do have an air check that I gave to get a video. It's like an hour's worth of music. I mean, I could send you one if you want to check it out. It's
pretty
good.
Please.
Yes.
A production and everything. I mean, I could do it all. I can do voiceovers, too.
Put him on hold, Chris. Give him Adam's home address.
What voice do you do? Voices or just voice over?
I could do that. Well, I can make up my own voices. I could do other voices. Like I could do Hank Hill. I could do his son, you know.
All right. Let's hear it. Bobby Hill.
Hey, Dad. What's that you're smoking? Oh, Bobby, don't touch that. That's mine.
Okay.
Sounds just like Pamela Adlon.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
No.
I'm interested in what's actually going on in people's heads. You know, the dad podcast, Euphrasio over here, mom in the driveway. Mm-hmm. Like, what physically, like, what's happening? What's the thought?
Mm-hmm. Process.
I mean, I know everybody has a little element, like, everyone has a little disconnect, which is you get, you know, you're running late for the airport and you go, oh, why is there an accident on the freeway every time I'm running late? This only happens to me. You know, everyone has a little of that, but you have to sort of settle down and you go, it didn't happen the last 12 times I went to the airport. Right. And what do you mean it only happens to you? Right. What about everyone else that's in traffic? But there's an element where people sort of, it's my you don't mind the taste of your own spit thought, which is everyone has a mouthful of their own spit right now, and they're not grossed out by it at all, because that's how we're wired. But beyond that part, the part where you want a driveway or you want to be an architect,
right?
How does that go? Where it just doesn't go.
Is the thought
you're
only
sort of okay with it, and you just go on?
The thought only in the immediate, like, this is what I want, and you don't see the steps it requires to, you know what I mean, to have that driveway? Or
I don't
hit that post.
I people are insanely resilient, and I think that's the problem. Like,
that we just bounce back too much?
People live on the street for years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, where's your medical? Where's your dental? Where's your insurance? Yeah. You know, why do you sleep at night? What about pests or vermin or whatever? It's like, man, just sleep on the street.
You adapt.
Yeah. Well, where are you going to eat? You have no money.
Figure
like,
it out.
We'll eat tonight. Like, yeah. People are insanely resilient, and they can just kind of get up every day and go, well, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, why should today be any different? I didn't have a driveway yesterday.
I don't have one today.
Yeah. So what is there to do? Mm. Like, there's a – most of humanity just wakes up and goes.
Yeah.
It does something. Goes, I'm hungry. I'm horny. I'm leaving.
The resiliency you talk about, it's adaptability. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I live in my car now, and that's – I guess I'm cool. I'll be cool for however long it takes. Or whatever that – you have a broken-ass driveway, you know?
Right.
It makes no difference to me.
I have a rich man, poor man for you guys. First, let me hit Casserole Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show. With hashtag Castrol Challenge, your questions for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic. You got a question, Max Pata?
Yep. Porter Architect on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, can you tell us anything about the experience of making your Castrol TV commercial?
Oh, yes. Everyone loves that commercial. I didn't drive the car. Everyone thinks I was driving the car.
But you could. Howdy.
I definitely could. I've done that wet skid pad, skid around stuff before. But I did. It was a real car, and I was in the car. And I did go someplace on the west side and do something about driving in the car. But no, I didn't do the cool spin out stuff, which
they gave you the dashing filter.
Pretty easy to do. God love you. All right. But thanks, Castrol and Castrol Edge. I appreciate that. All right. Let's see. We got Brad Evans. He's a Yahoo Sports resident football and college basketball analysis analyst. Sorry. Brad. Brad got me off of the 49ers Seattle game. We have a clip of that. Let's hear a clip of me. I'm a Rams fan, so Seattle scares me, and Russell Wilson scares me. All the running quarterbacks who can especially throw and make good decisions. They're always in the game, and San Francisco is good, but they're unbeaten, and I didn't feel like they were amongst the elite. Also, when New England loses, usually about the middle of the season, the unbeaten's the O's must go, you know, and New England lost, and I was like, I think it's high time San Francisco lose a game, and who better to lose a game to than Seattle? Seattle's like, I like Seattle. And when I found out there were 6.5-point dogs, I mean, when Seattle was getting 6.5, I thought maybe they'd get 2.5, maybe 3. I was like, they're not going to lose by more than a field goal.
Feels like they rarely get blown out. I mean, I'm sure people like, you know, tweet me examples, but I can't remember them getting blown out very often.
But I asked Brad Evans, our expert. You got the clip, Max Pata? He set me straight.
I said, San Fran's unbeaten. They're playing Seattle. I think Seattle's getting like 6 or 6.5.
At home, right?
Yeah, and I said, I feel like the Pats lost last week. San Francisco's good, but it's time for them to come down to earth. And Seattle is good.
Division game. Seattle's good, especially at home.
And maybe the Niners win by a field goal, but is that,
are they going to blow them out at home?
6.5? Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm kind of liking the Niners in this one, fellas. Listen, here's the deal. Seattle's defense is far from the Legion of Boom that we have grown accustomed to seeing.
All right, Seattle won the game.
In overtime.
An OT by field goal. All right, so not only did they cover.
They won outright.
They won the game. Sorry. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, Brad.
I threw the pooch on that one. But you didn't play the follow-up question. Remember you guys asked me about George Kittle? And he said, well, what happens if George Kittle sits? I said, then just ignore everything I said previously in regards to that pick.
You're right. The tight end, probably all pro this year tight end. And you're right. You were covered with that, and I should have. I've just – I was – I –
I was off San Fran or that game by then, but I loved it on the Southwest flight to Vegas a few days earlier. Yeah, so Kittle didn't play, and a tight end is kind of a quarterback's huggy bookie. I mean, he's the one who moves the chains on third down. He's the one they check down to. All these guys always open.
And he's also the best receiver on the team.
Right. So,
by a long shot.
So these guys, without that, the rhythm is definitely off. So sorry, Brad. What do we got this week?
Well, let's stick with the NFL theme right now. And I'm going to go back to San Francisco because I love the Arizona Cardinals plus 11.5. I really think that Cliff Kingsbury's air raid scheme has found its own rhythm here of late. Yeah, David Johnson is deep fried. He's done serving the side of tartar sauce. But, you know, Arizona's got Kenyon Drake there to lean on. I think there is Andy Isabella's role has really started to grow, and Kyler Murray did hellified damage against San Francisco, though, was in the desert on Halloween night. Arizona catching 11.5 in this game, 5-1 ATS the last five, 5-1 ATS the last six on the road. I think they're going to be able to cover in this with just too many points. Love the Eagles plus 3.5 as well against the New England Patriots. Look, this Patriots defense, I'm just glad that everybody has moved off the idea that the Patriots are as good as the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens after Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram ran down their throats before the bye. Now, you look at Philadelphia, they have the best run-blocking line in the NFL according to Pro Football Focus. They're also fresh off the bye. The Eagles 4-2 ATS the last six. I think they find a way to beat the Patriots outright, and they're catching 3.5. And a couple of totals I like in the NFL this week. Love the over in New Orleans and Tampa Bay, the total at 50.5. Tampa Bay has gone over in seven consecutive games, and Marshawn Lattimore looks like he's going to be sidelined with an injury. He's the best cover corner in that secondary for New Orleans, so Mike Evans, I think, detonates in this one. And then Kansas City and the Chargers down there in Mexico, Mas Tequila and Mas Points as well. Kansas City over in four of the last five, and the Chargers over in four of the last six matchups against its division rival. There's going to just be a ton of scoring in that game south of the border. I think the over hit at 52.5.
Can I say this about the Patriots, in defense of the Patriots defense, pardon the pun, and I'm no fan of the Patriots, although I'm an ultimate fan of the Patriots. It's sort of like the way you felt when I was a kid. I was dying for someone to beat Muhammad Ali because he was so good. He was mouthy and he was brash, and I was like, please beat him, somebody, but no one would ever beat him. The Patriots defense is good. If you play a team who says, I shall take our quarterback and we shall risk life and limb running, we can win that game, but we're not going to win season in and season out doing that, you know. And it's a kind of a deal with the devil, like RG3 and guys like that, where you go, we got a big, tough, fast, athletic quarterback and we're going to set him free, and it's like, that's good, but Brady's in his 21st year for a reason. But I feel like if it's just one game to win, and that's why I thought Cam Newton was going to win the Super Bowl, because I thought there's going to set him free. Yeah. Just let him run. Just win the one game. I never could figure that one out. Thoughts, Brad Evans?
Yeah, I think you're precisely right. I mean, Tom freaking Brady, all right? Whether it's the duplicate from the Paul Rudd Netflix show or the real Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. He just goes out there and wins football games. He's got an advantage in this game, guys, because the Eagles secondary is horrendous. Ronald Darby has been torched like a creme brulee for much of the year, and Mohamed Sanu, that new shiny toy, he and Tom Brady got on the same page immediately after Sanu was traded from Atlanta. But I just think the ground game, the 1-2 punch of Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, knowing this is all of a sudden a vulnerability for New England defending the run. They're giving up 4.4 yards per carry, the running back position now on the season. I think the trench hogs up front are just going to be shoving around Patriots all day long, and that will prove to be the difference.
Well, there are two games I liked. I like Seattle and taking the points, and I like the Patriots because I always feel like when they lose, they come back and make a statement to all the folks like us who think everyone's getting old or we've got them figured out. So we'll see if you're 0-2 or I'm 1-1. But you did bring up the Kittle, and that is true, and the caboodle as well. Brad Evans, you got some business over there?
Yeah, amen, brother. This portion of the Adam Carolla Show is brought to you by BetDSI. Look, if you want to add a little extra sauce, a little extra spice to the excitement this weekend, make BetDSI.com your betting partner. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code Adam101. That's double your money to start winning today. Why should you choose BetDSI? Well, they've been in business paying winners for over 20 years. They have a very friendly user interface and mobile site. And BetDSI has the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, and get paid. New members get 100% bonus match using that promo code Adam101. That's double your money to start winning today. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code Adam101 and get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI.
Thanks, Brad Evans. The Fantasy Football Hour, it airs on regional sports networks and 100-plus million households, and you can check your local listings and check the podcast, too, the Fantasy Record on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One. Thanks, Brad.
Muchas gracias. Good luck to everybody.
Thank you. He did say if Kittle didn't start, all bets were off, and I guess Kittle didn't start, so he's covered. All right, let's see. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
$25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for month 7 of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a recording of Adam breaking down Adam's 12 favorite songs of all time. A jar of Coffee Booster, perfect for filling you up in the AM so you don't eat the donuts that asshole brought into the office. Heavenly Kettle Corn, the most delicious kettle corn in the known universe. Seriously, we've eaten a concerning amount of it at the studio. Bottle of Mangria or 33 wine, and a custom silver Mangria flask for the aforementioned booze. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Man, all this talk about rave rock, and you've never brought up Christine 16 by Kiss. That is the creepiest song I've ever heard. Love the show.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, I know that song, but I don't know all the sort of in-between words.
Kiss is always good for a little bit of rave rock in general. Let's see. She's got me dizzy. She sees me through to the end. She's got me in her hands, and there's no use in pretending. Christine 16. She drives me crazy. I want to give her all I've got, and she's hot every day and night. There's no doubt about it. Christine 16. I usually say things like this to girls your age, but when I saw you coming out of that school that day, I knew, Christine, I got to have you.
Oh, Jesus.
She's been around, but she's young and clean.
Clean.
I've got to have her. Can't live without her. Christine Jesus. 16.
She's been around, but she's clean.
She's young and clean.
Now, poor in terms Christine. Of you...
She's being exploited.
Hey, Gene, there's a lot of some words that rhyme with 16. Or Christine, for that matter.
Christine's being sex trafficked.
Also, when you say, "When I watch you come out of that school,"
you're
parked across the street in a van. Like, where exactly are you situated when you see people leaving their schools at 2:45 in the afternoon?
You're in a primered van.
She better be a teacher.
I always laugh because, you know, Kiss had all their Love Gun stuff and all their party rock and roll night and party every day and all that stuff. And then later on, they got unmasked and they came up with Lick It Up.
Yep.
And
I don't know how old Gene Simmons was, but he must have been in his mid to late 30s. And it's like, we're going unmasked now.
This is the time.
So here's what I got. The song's called Lick It Up.
Yep.
It goes, lick it up, lick it up, lick it up. And then you yell, it's only right now. And then I go, lick it up, lick it up. And then I go, got to lick it up. Okay, I'm an adult male with a college education. I'm writing a song called Lick It Up.
Well, then I compete with Juice Newton.
It's only right now. Lick it up, lick it up. And then you go, yeah. And then I'll go, it's only good, girl. Lick it up. What? But is there more to the song? No, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just lick it up.
We say it with a different cadence, the next verse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the reason it's written on a cocktail napkin because there's not more to it. It's just,
that's most of it.
We
yeah.
just
wash,
keep going, lick
repeat.
It up.
They're still going. This is a 90-second chorus.
They
you
do
that
refrain
song,
four times.
MacArthur Park, where someone left the cake out in the rain?
Yeah.
This is the opposite of that. Although one would like to get their tongue on some of that frosting, I'll tell you what. But
it's melting right
the
here.
Song is 4 minutes of me going, lick it up, lick it up, and then you yell something like it's only right now, or you know you love it, or it's good for us now.
Yeah, we'll do a whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. I'm a songwriter. You know what I mean? I've come up with Lick It Up.
Every once in a while, you got to kick your feet
song.
Up, though. Don't work hard.
I was on a plane. I don't know where it came to me. I just kept writing Lick It Up on a peachy folder, and now we got a hit.
Yeah.
Because it's good, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't need to say what it is.
No, I think it's implied.
This lyric sheet says Lick It Up 48 times.
Yeah.
I counted.
It's
but
not
again,
a
different ways every time.
It's not a wooden spoon with pudding on it. Let me just put it to you that way. It's Lick It Up.
Yeah.
You got it?
Okay.
It's only right now.
Yeah. It ain't a crime.
Yeah. We're all adult millionaires. This is what I've come up with. It just says lick it up.
We gotta
over
keep parties ready
yeah.
going, man.
It's only right now. Lick it up. Lick it. This is why I could never be in a band. Because I'd be like, are you fucking high? No, we're not going to sit here and say lick it up over and over again.
As a matter of fact, I am.
You are high?
I'm actually super high.
Not Gene or Paul.
I'm not a fucking imbecile. I'm not. This sounds like shit. Like, what are you fucking saying? What are we, 14?
No, I think you know.
We're fucking 38 and rich. What are we doing? Like, lick it up. Like, I have my dignity.
Yes or no question. Do you want to keep this party train going?
You're in a spandex.
Let's sing Lick It Up.
You're in a spandex singlet.
I'd rather just put the fucking cat makeup back on or whatever my makeup is.
Wait, which one are you?
I think I'm the cat.
You're the cat man?
Maybe
you're
I'm
Peter Criss?
I may be the Hamburglar. I don't know. What are we doing again? Aren't we supposed to play music?
We're
this is us
roll,
yelling
man.
Lick It Up 172 times.
Yeah, it's rock.
Yeah, but where's the roll? Like, don't you feel like there are bands? You guys ever heard of The Who or The Rolling Stones or something?
The
or
Who?
The Beatles?
Who? The Who?
Have you heard of The Who?
Who are you talking about? This is going to go on for days.
Jesus Christ. All right. The point is there's a lot of good guys out there that use different words when they sing.
Chumps.
I heard Deep Purple. They sing songs.
Well, yes or no question. Do you get paid by the word?
No.
Well, then what's the debate?
Lick it up on four.
Have you ever heard Jethro Tull? He's got a flute. He's playing a classical flute. We're just yelling lick it up over and over again.
You're saying you want to put a flute and lick it up? This doesn't make any sense. Take a try.
Okay. You've heard of, didn't Emerson, Lake, and Palmer open for us once in I think, God, we're in Quebec, we're in Canada somewhere.
Huge mistake.
Remember those guys, they played instruments and they sung about stuff other than licking things up?
Yeah, there are three guys and five keyboards.
Okay, we just keep singing Lick It Up. Sorry, band member Dawson.
Hey, yeah, guys, we're paying by the hour over here.
Okay.
But not
should
by the
just,
word.
Should we just keep saying lick it up then?
I think lick it up, it gives, you know, us room to riff in between.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing. You can do the lick it up
And then, all right, so you do. All right, let's say. So you guys do lick it up. Go ahead.
So lick it up, and then there's space.
So take my life now.
Lick it up.
Lick it up.
I hope my kids never become adults and judge me.
Lick it up.
What's everyone in a good fucking band thinking as they hear this song?
Lick it up. That's good. That's
You're
a take.
So fucking lucky. I've been divorced 3 times. And I have alimony.
Lick it up.
It's only right now. What did that song chart at? That song
hit.
That song was a hit. All right. There's a, I got the craziest, somebody sent me a Renault commercial. They tweeted it to me. It was like a lesbian Renault. It's European.
It's French, right?
Yeah, it's French. Mm. So they're a little more progressive.
I've never seen a Renault commercial here in the States, like an English one.
Yeah, well, there is. Hold on a second.
I don't see very many Renaults here in the States.
The greatest is when Renault got together with American Motors to create the Renault Alliance, which is like, I remember being 17 and I remember having this thought. You took the worst car company on the European continent and you combined it with the worst American car company to make the shittiest car ever. This is a Reese's peanut butter cup filled with cat shit. They created the Renault Alliance. It was like we took this European. Yeah, you took a horrible car company from over there and you put it with our worst car company and now we have the worst car. This commercial, I wanted you guys to see this, and it's 2 minutes, and you can kind of describe it, and I guess we'll put it up at adamcarolla.com. There's not a lot of lick it up. Well,
I can sweeten it up.
There's not a lot of verbiage. I don't think there's any dialogue in it. I didn't even know where the commercial hailed from. It's young girls. The young girl doesn't want to leave the house. She goes off to like summer camp, falls in love with another, you know, 9-year-old or something. They have a lifelong friendship that becomes a physical relationship.
Another girl?
They're driving the old Renault back from the 90s to the camp, and she's on the bus and
she's forlorn
and she's feeling sad.
Sweet village.
Then she meets another little girl with another little old Renault, and one's redheaded. Brian, I thought of you.
The worst car manufacturer with the worst song?
How dare you? This is a goddamn classic.
And they're driving the Renault around, and the red-haired girl, their 9-year-old, and they're putting their mixtape in, and now they're getting along.
Now they're besties, yeah.
And they're besties, and now they're sleeping on each other's own. And now the redhead and the brunette have to say goodbye. And now they fast forward to when they're 20, and they're going on a cruise together, or they're sitting in the car, and they're reciting poetry.
Yeah.
And they're dancing and they're taking pictures. And then at a certain point, it starts taking a turn. Like it becomes a little more physical.
Sensual.
Now they're kissing.
Oh my God.
Now they're 22 and they're kissing. They're making out again. Now she's sitting alone and writing. Wait a minute. All right, they're pen pals. It shows her uptight
dad.
Dad's
mad. Finds he found the love letter.
Hold on. Pause it. Maybe he found out she was driving a Renault. I was like, you can't get a fucking Toyota?
Six
a piece of shit.
You brought shame to the family.
So then the red-haired girl is attending the wedding of the dark-haired girl, right?
Yeah.
And then the dark-haired girl like goes, sorry, sweetie, but I'm with a man now. And then she looks in the car and she's like,
drive.
Unhappy bride.
Yeah.
And then the dark-haired girl is getting divorced and moving out of her man's place. And she sees the red-haired girl and she dries her tears and they kiss.
This is the best movie ever.
Ooh, I'm moved.
And
tumescent.
Indeed.
I was looking at this on my computer. Wait a minute, where'd the girl come from?
The daughter!
And the accepting dad?
The dad likes it.
He has an age.
All right.
And the cycle begins again.
The all new Renault.
Cleo.
30 years in the making. So, wait a minute.
What a great song.
She got. The one chick got married and divorced, like, what kind of span of time you think that was? That the only part that bummed me, and then you guys got a 9-year-old daughter yourselves? Like, we jumped. I was with you along the ride, and we sped it up a little too fast, right?
Yeah.
You've seen those movies, Brian? You've seen those movies where at some point you get the feeling everyone goes, we're at the 2-hour mark. All right, let's wrap it up. Like, bring it home. Like, that was a bring it home, but interesting lesbian couple.
That was a great movie. That's, yeah, that was beginning, that was middle, and end.
Told a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they gilded the lily a little by having the red-haired 9-year-old in the back, because they didn't age and time flew forward, and they adopted her.
Karen also took issue that, why does it look like her actual daughter? It's obviously adopted.
It was a redheaded kid.
Mm.
Oh,
she's the one who carried.
Interesting. It was her egg. Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, man.
I want a Renault.
We're woke over here in the States. They're supernova
the
woke.
Yeah, that's right.
Raising the bar.
All right. I had another little thing. Yeah, but we're laughing the other week about D-E or D apostrophe E. Who needs the, Deshaun needs the D, but
DeAndre maybe doesn't.
DeAndre, because Andre's black enough. I now realize I've jumped the shark in the D department, which is, I was sitting in my workout room, had the TV on, put on SportsCenter, turned the sound down, just watched a college football game while I row mindlessly on my rowing machine. And a guy jumped up there, and it was like, DeJohn Jackson or whatever. And I was like, DeJohn. Okay. When then it's like, D-E, John. And then I was like, all uppercase. And I was looking at it, I was like, oh, he's a defensive end.
Okay.
This is D-E, as in defensive end, John Jackson.
You're programmed.
The D has fucked everything up for me now. I'm now making everything into a black name. And when you go uppercase, it's all just defensive end. We need a new designation now.
Cam Newton?
Yeah, like all the defensive ends are usually just big brothers who are 19 at the college level. And they put the D-E, you can put it in front of any name you want now. Your brain does the weird urban translation.
To Joey Bosa.
Yeah. So we need a new designation for defensive end.
Too confusing.
It's now, the D-E is now destroyed it for
me. We'll go back to what they did for the Giants, the great linebacker, Lawrence Taylor. Mm-hmm. Outside linebacker, OLB. Not the exact same thing, but he was an edge rusher.
But how do we do defensive end?
No, he essentially played edge rusher, defensive end.
I know, but like in college, they have a defensive end. Oh, my new rich
pros too.
My new rich man, poor man, the one I forgot to share. Or maybe I did. I can't remember. I've been doing too many podcasts. Somebody said, you live on a nice street, big houses, a lot of trick-or-treaters, like zero trick-or-treaters. Zero. Nobody.
Okay.
Because my house is too big, the driveway's too high, and the houses are spread apart too wide.
Oh, not a good neighborhood for trick-or-treating.
Do you have a gate?
No, but that can factor in. Rich man, poor man, your job when you're collecting candy is to cover as much ground as you can. And in a nice suburban neighborhood, the doors are probably 65 to 80 feet apart.
Keep them tight.
You go to the big rolling estates, you got to walk.
Yeah.
And then you got to hike up that driveway.
It's not worth it for four candy bars.
The calorie, you burn off two peanut butter cups getting to my front door. Yeah. And then when I lived in my dad's piece of shit A-frame on Addison Street in a weird neighborhood with like dirt sidewalks and fences made out of pallets, that was too dicey. Like the doors were close together, but no one wanted anything to do with that neighborhood. They were scared someone's going to cut them and they didn't want to step over the sofa and the dead cat to get to the front door, So the poor neighborhoods, no action. The rich ones, too far apart, gates, hill, long driveways.
No reason.
That's the rich man, poor man of Halloween. There's this sweet middle class spot. Good middle class folks who are giving out all the stuff.
And all sitting outside.
Level street, not a hill.
Down.
No cul-de-sac or anything. You just go right down that street and you just collect that candy.
Like Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm. That was my... And also, I'm happy to...
I don't think Brian or I would have come up with that one. We wouldn't have known.
Well, I'm happy to say, just like Outback Steakhouse, I skipped past it.
Oh, right.
Rich man, poor man. No Outback Steakhouse for you.
Yeah.
I was way too poor to eat in an Outback Steakhouse. Like Sizzler's as high as I got up on the list. Then I started making money. It's like, we're going to Lowry's. Right. We're getting prime rib. Right. We're going to Morton's. We're going to a nice steak joint, you know?
Yeah.
I never in my life have eaten an Outback Steakhouse because I skipped past it.
You missed your middle-class window.
I was way below it, and then I skipped past it. And I used to live in houses that nobody went to because they were too dicey and too shitty and too broken down. And I skipped past it.
Wow.
Gina and I have experienced the poor man aspect of that because when you're in an apartment, no one goes trick-or-treating in apartments.
Yeah.
Oh, apartments,
yeah. Yeah, no one exactly.
Yeah, my dad had apartments too. And never, no one ever did that. All right, we got our guest here. Let's see. Let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you, Ad? Save a bunch of money on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day. It is the best. It is Geico. You got some Lick It Up info, Max Pata?
Yeah, I didn't do well in the States. Reached number 66 in the States. Wow. But since 2015, they have performed it over 1,300 times.
Yeah.
It's a big line.
Plays well, yeah.
That's right.
Well, so you get a little bit older, and some of these guys have to put a little teleprompter in there to remind them of some of the things. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you want to cover a Third Eye Blind song, you better load up that prompter. You know what I mean? Anybody in the band, like, what are we doing tonight? Lick It Up. Got it. Lick It Up. Lick a guy's texting while he's singing. Yeah. It's only Lick It Up. That's the easiest old guy band song to do ever. Like, there is no thinking. There's no, boy, the... You better load up that prompter and you better be stone cold sober.
We gotta cover this, man. See, this song cooks.
Can we just do Lick It Up a second encore of Lick It Up?
Now this is a Tool tune.
It's a Tool tune.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
I agree. All right. No 71-year-old member of KISS wants to deal with this shit.
It's too much.
We'll just keep saying Lick It Up. I like this song. All right.
It's only right now.
What year was Lick It Up?
Ooh. 83.
According to this.
I think I've been to 5 KISS concerts in my life.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And when Paul Stanley went to do his little Motown thing, I checked it out.
Oh, really?
I did. So I've been pulled out of KISS concerts, like literally by my belt. Because I was up against the front and like the crowd started pushing and this dude pulled me out and I was in this little crop top KISS shirt because I was in college.
Well, probably first off.
You were wearing something inviting.
I was.
Inviting. Every shirt becomes a crop top.
That's good.
With you, Gina.
That's real good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took me, one of the roadies took me back into Paul's trailer.
Is this a confession?
And said, just wait here. You know, Paul's going to come hang out. And I'm like 18. I'm like, oh, sweet. I actually don't think I was 18. Mm-hmm. And then.
What a
prize. Where were you?
In Omaha. Because we would go to like, you know, Missouri or
Folsom.
Mm-hmm.
And the roadie, like he had to be early 60s. He came into the trailer and shut the door and sat down next to me on the couch and started chatting me up. And I was like, I think I have to get back to my brother. And at the one point, I just kind of walked past and let myself out and watched from the side of the stage.
It's the thought that counts.
Which thought?
Well, statutory rape by a celebrity.
Oh.
We don't wish that upon anybody. But him wanting to do it to you is a tip of the cap.
It's quite a compliment. I'm still a
fan.
They
didn't pluck out every 17 and a half year old from on the other side of the barrier.
No, they got you. They got me. Right. That's right. I think Royal Crown Review opened that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
God.
Just to give some context, yeah.
Wait, what did the roadie say to you? Was he really saying Paul was coming, or was the roadie trying to get with you?
Of course the roadie was trying to get with me. Who knows if Paul... Come on. They're on stage.
Yeah.
But they do have hand signals, and they've been doing that since the 70s.
The hand, like, I want that one?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's like a base coach. They know what to do. They know how to read the...
Wave you around.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Shelby American, my doc, is coming out November 19th. As Mike August said to me earlier, that's next Tuesday. I said, yes, this Tuesday. And you can pre-order it now. He gets angry, but I'm like, just do it. We'll never have to argue again. At Chassis, two S's and a Y.com, and you can see what Matt Damon's playing.
See Ford v. Ferrari, then see that.
Yeah, see that, and then see the real story. Also, no safe spaces this weekend. Burbank, I'll be out there on Saturday, and you can go to nosafespaces.com and find out when the show is and all that. Max Zapata, tell me how life works. So I was talking to...
It shows up for guys.
Can do.
I was talking to Mike August yesterday, and today, and I said, aren't we doing stand-up over in that... we're doing stand-up over at SiriusXM.
That's right.
Site over on the whatever side of the hill for like a special show, comedy show for our listeners or the first 50 people.
Very exclusive.
Whatever that is. And he said, yep. And I said, well, I've not spoken about it at all on the air or anything. And he went, well, you better get on it because it's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, yeah, but I haven't. Who have you told to talk about it? Mm-hmm. And then he said, I told Chris, but the website's not up yet, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, okay, well, but we should get on it today, right? Because we're pretty much running out of time to tell people if they want to go see the stand-up show. And he said, I'm on it. But where are we at, Max Pana?
So, yeah, he called me, too. So I wanted to wait till the website was available before we talked about it. Plus, it's only 25 tickets plus ones.
Oh, it is?
So I put it out on social media. You have such a big social media following. So we're seeing how that works. And then... And it'll sell out just through social media. Okay. We didn't even need to mention it on the show.
All right. Well, now you got to mention it that we're not going to mention it next time because I hung up with him 2 hours ago and I was like, we're getting on this.
Oh, he told me you weren't going to mention it.
Oh, my God.
25?
He told me I wasn't going to mention it. I called him and I said, this thing is next week, early this week. What? Yeah, are we going to try to get people there or
not? He said
the
last thing we want is for fans to tweet Adam, hey, you mentioned the show on your podcast and it's sold out. WTF, man.
Why wouldn't we want that? That's okay. Things sell out.
When I hung up with him, he said, I'm going to tell Chris and I'll make sure to remind him to tell you to talk about it today.
Yeah.
All right.
Done.
I don't get that. There we go. I don't get that. You because know, it's not like they're saying we showed up and couldn't get in. They're saying, oh, we checked and it sold out. That's okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. You should definitely check out Reno December 7th at Virginia Street Brewhouse. Adam Kroll's Unprepared for the Holidays. And Oxnard at Levity Live December 13th and 14th as well.
All right. Larry Hankin is coming in. He's got a book out. He's also done a ton of movies, Planes, Trains, and Automobile, Escape from Alcatraz, Home Alone. There's a lot of roles you remember. Started doing stand-up in coffee houses after college. Soon he was opening for Woody Allen and Miles Davis.
Wow.
Crazily, we brought up Woody Allen the other day, and then Dr. Drew came in, and we brought up Miles Davis.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a weird coinkadink. Yeah. So I'll talk to him all about that right after this.